यथा विचित्र व्यसनात् भवाद्धीर्विश्वतो भयात् मुच्येम हि अञ्जसैव तथा न साधि सुव्रता। यथा सो दैट विचित्र व्यसना which is full of various dangers, bhavadbhi, because of you,
vishvatah bhayat,
from this material world which is fearful everywhere,
mucchyema,
I may be liberated,
he indeed.
Anjasa,
easily.
Eva, even.
Addha,
directly. Tatha,
thus.
Na, us. Sadhi, please instruct.
Subrata,
O you who are always true to your vow. Translation. My dear Lord, you are always true to your vow. Please instruct me clearly so that by your mercy I may easily free myself from material existence. Which is full of many dangers and keeps us constantly bound in fear. We are in Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 9. Now since most of us don't get an opportunity to hear the Bhagavatam class during the weekdays because of work, I'll just try and recap what has happened thus far in this chapter from text 1 to text 8, and then we'll move on to text 9, which is the verse for today. So chapter 2 is titled as Maharaj Nimi meets the 9 Yogendras. Now what has happened thus far in this chapter is around verse 3, Narad Muni is visiting Dwaraka. And when he visits Dwaraka, he goes to the house of Vasudev. In verse 4 and 6, there is a conversation which is taking place between Narad Muni and Vasudev, wherein Vasudev, being the pure devotee that he is glorifying Narad Muni. And how does he glorify? He glorifies by comparing the benedictions offered by demigods vis-a-vis the benedictions which are offered by saintly persons. He says that the benedictions offered by demigods are nothing but something which is taken from your own karma and given to you because you have pleased that particular demigod. Whereas the benedictions which are given by saintly persons have got nothing to do with your past karma. Because saintly persons are Suhrada Sarva Devinam. They are always the well-wisher of all living entities. So regardless of who you are, the moment you contact a saintly person, you are going to get that benediction as a part of causeless mercy. So he is comparing these benedictions. Further, he is saying that the benedictions which are offered by demigods are binding in nature. Whereas the benedictions which are offered by a saintly person are liberating in nature. So one hand he's talking of, he's basically comparing Shreyas versus Prayas, short term versus the long term benefits. So this is what happening in verse 4 to verse 6. In verse 7, Vasudev, though we all know that Vasudev is not an ordinary personality, he is a Nitya Siddha devotee himself, eternally liberated and constant associate of Lord Krishna. So though he is a Nitya Siddha devotee himself, Vasudev, out of his personal humility and for the benefit of mankind, is asking Narada to give him instruction on Bhagavad Dharma, so that he, Vasudev, may be rid of material conditioning and that he may be free from fear. Obviously, you know, understanding Vasudev's position, he is not a person who is materially conditioned, nor is he, being a pure devotee, ever subject to something called as fear, in the material sense of it. Still, out of his humility and for the benefit of mankind, so that eventually then Bhagavad Dharma will be further explained, he is asking this question. So in this context, Vasudev is demonstrating fear. Now, what is the fear which he is talking about? So in the earlier chapters, we found that the Yadu dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmanas. And now Vasudev is telling Narada that I am having some fear. Now what will happen? Now the way to understand this is, actually Vasudev himself is not afraid of death. He is not one of those persons who is having mundane attachments. So he is afraid that, you know, people are going to die. The fear which he is talking about here is the fear of having offended, the Yadus having offended Brahmanas. So by asking Narad Muni this question, he is essentially telling us that beware everyone, don't ever offend a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. That is one fear which constantly we should have, of offending devotees. So therefore his questioning to Narada has got so many nice different meanings which come out of it. So in verse 8, after he expresses his fear, in verse 8, Vasudev is lamenting. He is lamenting to Sri Narada Muni that I am such a fallen soul that I came face to face with Krishna, and instead of asking him for liberation, I just asked him for a boon, that why not you come as my son. And he, in his humility, feels that this kind of a benediction, he having asked Lord Krishna, this kind of a benediction is material in nature and shows his own conditioned mind. So Vasudev is kind of engaging in some kind of self-deprecation out of his humility. So this is what happens in verse 8. And now, we are talking about verse 9, which is the verse for today. So, all of you must be knowing the famous words which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in the Madhya Leela. This was in chapter 22, text 54, when from chapter 20, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami on various aspects of Bhagavad Dharma. So Mahaprabhu said this famous verse, which most of you know, which goes, sadhu sangha sarva shastra kahe, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoye. So which means, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoye. Lava means 1/11th of a second, such a small duration, lava. So sadhu sangha sarva shastra kahe. All scriptures say that the only way for emancipation, for liberation from material bondage is the association of pure devotees. And for how long do you need the association of a pure devotee to get delivered? Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Just 1/11th of a second association of a pure devotee is enough to liberate someone. So, truly epitomizing that verse, Vasudev is here taking full advantage of Narad Muni's brief visit to his house, and he is inquiring about the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. That's what's happening in verse 9. And he's saying that I wish to seek your mercy to overcome the dangers of material existence and to overcome my fear. So in his purports, Srila Prabhupada draws our attention to two important words in this verse. One is the word anjasa. It's in the third line, the last word. Anjasaivastha. So actually the breakup in Sanskrit is anjasa. Anjasa means easily. Eva means even, and adha means directly. Now Srila Prabhupada stresses in his purports that these are the two key words in this whole translation, in this whole verse. So what do you mean by easily and direct? Srila Prabhupada writes in his purports that Lord Krishna can be easily approached through a pure devotee. If one tries to approach Lord Krishna directly, it is not going to work ever. The easiest way is to approach through his bona fide representative, and why is approaching Lord Krishna through the medium of a spiritual master. Why is it called direct? It is called direct because the spiritual master is verily a representative, a bona fide representative and a transparent medium of Lord Krishna. Even in the morning when we sing the Guru Ashtakam prayers, we say Sakshadhari Tvena Samasta Shastra Uktastatha Bhavyata Eva Shadhi. So what is a Shakshat? The Shakshat Dharitvena. The word Shakshat also means direct. So here the another word for Shakshat is given in this verse, which is called as Adha or directly, which means approaching Lord Krishna through a spiritual master is not an indirect method. Many times when people are new to Krishna consciousness, they have this feeling, why is there a layer between me and Krishna? After all, he is God and I am his part and parcel, so let me approach him directly. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that here, that the spiritual master is a transparent medium to Lord Krishna and he is a direct representative and he carries Lord Krishna in his heart and preaches the message of Bhagavad Dharma. So today is the auspicious appearance day of one such transparent medium of Lord Krishna, one such pure devotee who by the example of his own life taught to mankind the essence of Vaishnava Siddhanta and Bhagavad Dharma. We are talking about none other than His Holiness Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya ki jai. So in his Pranati Mantra, which of course we will be saying at 12 o'clock today, in his Pranati Mantra he is referred to as the transcendental energy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with a small prayer, by reciting his transcendental Pranati Mantra, today I will attempt to speak a few words to glorify this great personality, purely for my own purification, number one, and for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas present here. So if you know the Pranati Mantra, you may say so. Just in case you do not know the Pranati Mantra or you cannot recollect, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Pranati Mantra is Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. So I just repeat three times this Pranati Mantra, and with his blessings we will commence his life story. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. The meaning of this is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Sachidananda Bhakti Vinoda, who is the transcendental energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So today, since we are having half day fasting on account of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Mahashaya's appearance day, so I will take your permission to go slightly beyond 9 o'clock. Actually, I was trying to keep his life story as brief as possible so that we finish at 9. Of course, we started the lecture late today, but nevertheless, I was trying to see where can I cut chop something from his life, and frankly, I admit I failed. There is nothing which could be cut short because every single aspect of his life is so nectarian. So with your kind permission, please pardon me if we go slightly overboard beyond 9 o'clock. Though I'll try my best to try and stay as close to 9 as possible. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya, one of the unique features about him was that he appeared externally as an ordinary personality. He appeared externally as a seeker of truth, as if he was seeking the truth, dabbling sometimes with Western philosophy, embracing British culture, because he was there during the British regime in India. So he was seen to be embracing British culture. And he wrote a lot of mundane books. We'll learn more about it. So it seems as if he is going through all these mundane activities, typifying a conditioned soul of today. What we call as the sadhana siddha. A conditioned soul who by dint of his or her sadhana is trying to attain Lord Krishna. So his life initially seems so. As if he is going through all this and as an ordinary sadhaka who eventually realizes that yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the ultimate truth. Though he was not such a personality. He was a Nitya Siddha devotee. But apparently, he displayed, demonstrated pastimes as if he was a sadhana siddha. So, externally, he appeared like an ordinary sadhaka who found truth after several years of seeking it. So, in this context, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, who is his illustrious son, also Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he has cautioned us against judging his life and equating that with that of a ordinary conditioned soul who eventually found the truth. So he writes that please do not compare Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life with that of an ordinary conditioned soul as much as you wouldn't compare the bewilderment of Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. Though Arjuna was a close associate of the Lord, even he appeared and he displayed a pastime as if he was bewildered and he didn't know what his duty was. But we all know who Arjuna was. Also, he is given the example of Ramananda Rai, who apparently used to go to the forest and dress up young girls so that he readied them up for performing various dramas to enact the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please do not see these personalities externally, is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami advises us. Also, he enunciates the example of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, who apparently was sitting in his house amidst an opulent circumstance, and I believe he was having hookah or something like that, when Gadadhar Pandit went there and mentally engaged in some offences towards him, and eventually realized that Pundarika Vidyanidhi is the dearmost follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami cautions us not, when we hear these pastimes, not to ever make any mental offences to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's lotus feet. Because Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was not an ordinary person, as we said, he is a sadhana, he is a Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord. In fact, it is mentioned in the Shastras that he is none other than Kamala Manjari in Krishna Leela. His life also in this material world was full of ups and downs. We'll see what kind of ups and downs he faced. It was replete with diseases, illness, job changes, job losses, and so on and so forth. Everything which a grihastha today specifically fears. Of course, brahmacharis also sometimes fear these things, but definitely job loss is something which every grihastha fears today. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya himself was a grihastha. So he went through all the typical cycles which any ordinary conditioned soul goes through. Now, in Bengal, during the time of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance and during his lifetime, there is a very popular daily newspaper which is called as Anand Bazar Patrika. It's a very popular daily circulation. In fact, I believe that it is the largest daily circulation in the world, Anand Bazar Patrika, in any regional language. So, the editor of this famous patrika, his name is Shishir Kumar Ghosh. Now, Shishir Kumar Ghosh was a very close friend of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was known for his intelligence and his command over the English language. So, Shishir, and for his erudition in various subject matters pertaining to common society. So, he had friends with the intellectual strata of society during his time. So, Shishir Kumar Ghosh was also his friend. To such an extent, this friendship was, and his Shishir Kumar Ghosh's admiration for Bhakti Vinod Thakur was, his admiration was to such an extent that he used to invite Bhakti Vinod Thakur and tell him, now you edit whatever I have written in this newspaper. To that extent, he used to respect Bhakti Vinod Thakur's ability. So, though Shishir Kumar Ghosh was personally not a practicing devotee at all, however, by observing the life, integrity and dedication of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya, he said once, and he wrote actually in Anand Bazar Patrika, that I have never seen the six Goswamis in my lifetime. Shishir Kumar Ghosh writes in Anand Bazar Patrika that I have never seen the six Goswamis in my lifetime, but seeing you, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and your activities, your level of integrity and your standards, I verily feel that you are the seventh Goswami. So, it was Shishir Kumar Ghosh who gave the title of seventh Goswami to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya. Incidentally, Shishir Kumar Ghosh's grandson was none other than Tarun Kanti Ghosh, who was the chief minister of West Bengal during Srila Prabhupada's time. And because of the assistance of Tarun Kanti Ghosh, Srila Prabhupada was able to establish the Mayapur temple. So we can understand that Mayapur is originally the benediction of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So that's about his name, how he got his name as seventh Goswami. Now let us spend a few minutes talking about his childhood. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was born as Kedarnath Datta in 1838 in September to Anand Chandra Dutt and Jagat Mohini in a place called as Ula in Nadia. Since his childhood, he was exposed to Vedic culture. In fact, the entire place of Ula was filled not only with material opulence but also with spiritual opulence. 1500 Brahmana families used to reside in that place, and they used to celebrate all Vaishnava festivals with great pomp and grandeur. In fact, it is mentioned that the opulence was so high, even material opulence was so high, that each of his brothers and cousins, of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's brothers and cousins, used to have their own pet elephant to play with, real elephant, not a model. Or Aditya, I have purchased a small model elephant. They had real elephants to play with. And I was surprised to find where Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur got his first exposure to the scriptures. Any guesses about that? How? Who spoke to him about the scriptures for the very first time? Any guesses? Pardon? His mother, okay. It is mentioned, I was surprised when I heard this, that he had a gatekeeper in his house. And through this gatekeeper, he got his first exposure to the scriptures. And this gatekeeper was actually a dacoit. He was actually a dacoit, and he had committed several murders. And then eventually, you know, I think he got reformed and he was a gatekeeper of his house. So he used to exchange lot of dialogue with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and you know, he used to tell, you know, this is how I, you know, killed people and all that. And then incidentally I also read the scriptures. So he used to talk about Mahabharata, Ramayana and so on and so forth. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur very nicely used to hear from him. And even hearing from him, he got the taste of Krishna Bhakti. Which means obviously, you know, he already had that in his heart. So as I mentioned earlier, he was very proficient in the English language, and he displayed this proficiency very early in his life when he was only 7 years old. High level of proficiency in the English language. Even last week when I had to give the IELTS exam, I was struggling for 2 days, you know, reading those books, trying to clear the exam for permanent residency in this country. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur would have cracked both the academic and general section and got a full 9 points and got his permanent residency, no. Was not a permanent resident of the material world. Okay. So he was very proficient in the English language. Now, one feature, as I mentioned earlier, of his lifetime was that he had a very difficult life. And this started right from his childhood when he was 8 years old. When he was 8 years old, his brothers Kali Prasanna, Harichandra and Gauridas, all of them left their body. Almost at the same time, one after the other. And to top that, very soon, he also lost his father. So So one can imagine losing all the brothers and family members in one shot, just within a span of 1 year or 2 years, one after the other. So much of misery in very early in his lifetime. But as Bhurijan Prabhu was once saying in the farm retreat, sometimes all this misery is the highest benediction, he said. So this is the point at which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started actually inquiring about the purpose of this human form of life. He saw so much of misery, very much like what Gautam Buddha had during his time. He saw so much of misery around him, and then he started inquiring, what is the purpose of this life with so much misery? So he started inquiring into the subject matter of God. But as I mentioned earlier, his pastime was such that he started initially dabbling with various religions. He dabbled with Christianity, he dabbled with Islam, and he also dabbled with Vedanta. And he said that there I find lot of apparent contradictions in all this. And he displayed the pastime as if he was a bit confused about the whole thing. But it just means that his search for the absolute truth continued from here, or rather started from here, from this confusion. When he was 12 years old, he got married, and his first wife, her name was Shayamani. Immediately after he got married, he suffered from severe blood dysentery, and several skin diseases followed thereafter. Such was his kind of suffering when he migrated from youth to marital life. Something very interesting happened at this point in time. With all this blood dysentery and several skin diseases, he went to a local fakir. A fakir is a doctor. He is not an MBBS doctor in that sense, but he is a doctor in his own right.
Village
doctor. It's called as a fakir. So he went to this fakir, and something amazing happened here. After the fakir treated him, or as he was treating him, the fakir looked at him and made two predictions. The first prediction the fakir made was that your entire hometown of Ulagram will be devastated and finished with cholera, the deadly disease at that time. That was the first prediction. And number two, which was the more important prediction, he said that I can predict that one day you will become a great Vaishnava Acharya. These were the two predictions which were made by the fakir. In 1856, after this benediction, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the University of Calcutta. As I said earlier, because of his erudition and his scholarly nature, he always attracted the intelligent strata of society. So, I was again surprised, actually not surprised in one sense, I was happy when I heard that he had developed friendships with the great personality of Indian history, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. In fact, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar is known as the father of Bengal prose. And so he was personal friend to Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya. So how this friendship happened was that both of them were members of the British Literary Society at that time, which was called as the English Club. Now, as a member of this English Club, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to get exposed to a lot of books, and they used to participate in a lot of debates. So during these days, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur released his first book or magnum opus, which is the 30 volume book on the life of King Porus and how King Porus defeated Alexander the Great. Apparently a very, very kermy book. He started with that. A 30 volume Karmi book. And not only that, he followed it up with a 25 volume book on Vikram and Vetal. All of you know this, you know, in India, all the children grow up with the Vikram and Vetal stories, where Vikram is a king and Vetal is the ghost which is hanging on a tree. And every time Vikram is passing through, you know, Vetal comes on his shoulder. And he says that if you turn your neck or something like that, your neck will get severed from your body. And then Vetal always asks a question to King Vikram, and which he has to answer very honestly, otherwise he'll kill King Vikram. So, and then there are various stories, and then each story has got a moral. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a 25 volume book on Vikram and Vetal. But yes.
How did he find time? There were no computers. 30 volumes, 25.
There's something more about his productivity than this. He wrote much more actually. There's much more to come, which is why I was shocked when I read this.
Whole night. Whole,
yes, I'll come to that. What was the day in his life? We'll come to that. So, when he was writing all these Karmi books, one day in the English Literary Society, he met with Mr. Dale. Is Dale Prabhu here? he met a Mr. Dale. Now, as he was presenting all these volumes, Mr. Dale asked him a very peculiar question. He asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay, "You are so educated, such a literate person, you have so much command over the English language, and you have written so many interesting books. What is the purpose of all your knowledge?" He asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "What is the purpose of all your knowledge, and why are you acquiring all this knowledge? What are you going to do with this?" When Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay heard this, immediately there was a change of heart, which he demonstrated as a pastime. And his intensity for the search of reality began from this very point. He accepted in his humility this suggestion from Mr. Dale, who was apparently another Karmi person. It was not that Mr. Dale was a great devotee. In 1857, that was the year of the famous Indian mutiny, when the Indians were fiercely rebelling against the British regime in India. Now, once again, because of his scholarly nature and erudition, as I said, he was attracting association of the intelligent strata in society, and he became close friends with none other than the famous Tagore family in Bengal. We all know Rabindranath Tagore. So he got very close to the Tagore family, and he used to, in his discussions with the Tagore family, he used to evince a lot of opinions about the current political situation and what should be done. And because of his intelligence, his views about how India should gain independence from the British and so on and so forth were highly respected by the Tagore family, and as well as the other big families in Bengal. Now, it is during this time that he got his first job. Now, his job itself is a great pastime, how he changed his jobs. So, his first job was as a grade 2 school teacher for a salary of rupees 15 per month. Rupees 15 is how many dollars? One third of American dollar today. So how much is that? What, let's say 33 cents or something? 33 cents per month was his salary for a grade 2 school teacher, which I think at that time was still a decent salary. So when he was 19 years old, he got this salary, and within a few months, he changed his job. In fact, job changes was a significant feature of his life. So he changed so many jobs. Sometimes he, and every job he changed because of peculiar situations. But somehow he tolerated all this, Srila Prabhupada says. His second job was as an accountant in a sugar mill. Now what happened, one day when he was in the sugar mill and he was doing, his job, there was one customer who came and purchased something. And he paid more money than what the product required. And then he went off. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called that person back and he said, "Actually, you have paid more for this. This product doesn't deserve this much. So you please take back some of your money." Now the owner of this company, sugar mill, was watching it from a distance. And he was extremely displeased with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, what are you doing? If you start displaying such honesty, then my business will become like Tukaram business. It will die in 2 days. You are not fit for this job." So, he gave him what is called as the pink slip. He said, "You can go. Don't ever try to work for a tradesman in your life," he said. "You are a Brahmana. So, do something which is Brahminical." So, this was the next pastime, second job of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In 1858, there was another interesting pastime which happened in his life. And this time, it was with his own maternal grandfather, whose name was Raja Vallabh Datta. Now this happened in a place called as Choti in Orissa, near Cuttack. Now this maternal grandfather of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very peculiar eccentricity about him. What he used to do was, at 12 o'clock in the night, he never used to eat anything during the day, but at 12 o'clock in the night, he used to start making kachoris. So kachori, all of you know, is a sweet. Not only he used to make kachoris, on top of that he used to bring some chilies along with the kachoris. And he used to eat the kachoris along with the chilies at 12 o'clock in the night. And after he ate those things, he had the ability to make very powerful predictions. So he was a very powerful personality, and you'll be surprised to know that he was a devotee of Lord Jagannath, despite his eccentricities. He was a devotee of Lord Jagannath, and he was very well recognized by the community. Now one day what happened was, this maternal grandfather, he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he told him, "I want you to come to me immediately." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then he asked him why. He said, I'm going to leave my body. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there, he found that this gentleman was making this kachori and eating chilies, and he was absolutely fit and fine. So he said, "Why did you call me in such a hurry? You are absolutely fine, nothing is wrong with you." So he said that, "I know what I am talking about. I assure you that within the next 3 days, I will leave this body in front of you, and you will be a witness for that." So, exactly on the third day, this maternal grandfather, Raja Vallabh Datta, he left his body in a yogic posture, chanting the holy names of the Lord in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But before he left his body, he called him to his side, just before he left his body, and he made another prediction on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. He said that till the age of 27, you will have no stability in your professional career. And number two, you will become a great Vaishnav Acharya. So whatever the Fakir Baba had said earlier, further substantiated by his maternal grandfather. So that was the second prediction. And then he left his body. In 1859, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Cuttack, and there he got his third job. He was still not 27, so he lost that job also, and he took his third job for rupees 21 per month, which is slightly more than 15 cents. So his job was a grade 6 teacher, school teacher. In 1860, he went to a place called Bhadrak, where he became headmaster of the school. Small promotion he got from teacher. Headmaster of a school for rupees 45 per month. $1 per month. Varsha Puja member, but per month, not per day. So 45 rupees per month. And also in this year, he got his first son, whose name was Annada. Now, despite all these job losses and constant instability in his life, his desire to write books continued. And he wrote two more books. This time, his books had some semblance with spirituality. The first book he wrote was The Temples of Orissa. And the second book, I don't know really how much it was related to spiritualism, but it was called as The Mathematics of Orissa. At that time, there was a famous personality, Indian personality, called as Raja Ram Mohan Roy, who used to live there, who is popularly known as the founder of Brahmo Samaj, a total out and out Mayavadi. Now, his mother, surprisingly, was a disciple of, and a devotee of, so not a disciple, a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was a great Vaishnava, Raja Ram Mohan Roy's mother. And the son, because of lot of modern education, he developed some very funny and vague ideas about spirituality, and he founded his Brahmo Samaj. His own mother rejected him because he was a Mayavadi and sent the son out of the house. He was such a great Vaishnava. Who can dare to take such a decision? So, thrown out from his house, Raja Ram Mohan Roy founded the Brahmo Samaj. Of course, in the history of in Indian textbooks, you will find Raja Ram Mohan Roy being glorified. In my own childhood, I remember writing nice answers about Raja Ram Mohan Roy. That is the quality of, you know, Indian education, unfortunately. Modern day education. Anyway, so these Brahmo Samaji, they had a very strange prayer. Their prayer was, Nirakar Tomar Charana Dekhi. Nirakar Tomar Charana Dekhi. Which means, O unmanifest, impersonal, please manifest your feet. O unmanifest, impersonal, please manifest your feet. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay heard this, he said, this is the craziest prayer anyone can do. Even a fool will see through this philosophy. So obviously, you know, the other Hindu community, who are not very, you know, great in the Shastras, even a normal Hindu person could see that this was a foolish philosophy. And they objected to such an extent that they were behind the blood of Raja Ram Mohan Roy. So they were actually going to kill him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay was responsible for saving his life. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay was known in the community as a thorough gentleman. And he had tremendous arbitration skills, dispute resolution skills. So he eventually resolved this conflict. But at that time, knowing that a lot of such bogus philosophies are floating around, his desire for searching for a bona fide copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that desire came in his heart. And he spent 12 years to find one bona fide copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. 12 years. And now, of course, with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have Chaitanya Charitamrita almost everywhere. Immediately, we just go to the shelf and pick up a bona fide copy. But 12 years spent. In 1867, his first wife died of a illness. However, since he had a 7-month-old child, he had to marry again. And his second wife was named Bhagavati Devi. And at this time, he got his 7th job as a tax collector and a clerk in Cuttack. He got a job offer. Now, this was a turning point in his life, as predicted by his maternal grandfather. What happened was that the Britishers, because of the efficiency which he used to show in his job, they used to respect him quite a lot. And one of the local lords, I mean, when India was ruled by the British, there were a lot of these people who were known as lords, Lord Warren Hastings and Lord Cornwallis and Lord whatever. A lot of these Britishers used to rule. So there was one lord, local lord, who was called as Lord Healy. Now this Lord Healy was very impressed with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's managerial capabilities. So he saw that and he told him that I am going to offer you 3 offers and it's your choice which job you take. The first one was a clerk in Cuttack. Clerk under the British regime was a very prestigious job in those days. Clerk in Cuttack. Number 2, as the stores in charge. And number 3, as the district magistrate. In that order. But you will have to clear the civil services examination of the British. In today, in India, the civil services examination is the toughest exam to crack. And the most prestigious administrative positions, most powerful positions, people have to crack that exam. So he offered the same exam to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur cracked it with his left hand. And so at the age of 27, exactly as per the prediction, he got the offer of district magistrate of a place called Dinajpur. This may apparently seem very material, but it had a spiritual significance in his life. And in fact, the greatest spiritual significance in life. In Madhurya Kadambini, it is said that the start of bhakti is Shraddha and after that it is Sadhu Sangha. So it is very here that he got his first serious Sadhu Sangha or association with devotees in Kamala Lochana and Ramananda Vasu Prabhu. So within 1 year, during this year, he started visiting various satsang and he started reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhakti Mala. Within 1 year of reading, his love for Krishna was ignited so much just within 1 year of Sadhu Sangha that he wrote a book on his own titled Sachidananda Premalanka, which was a treatise on the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this book marked the beginning of a series of books which he would write eventually. This was the time of 1868. In 1869, he gave a very famous speech in public, and this speech was an extempore speech. In fact, the notes which people made from this speech became a book in itself. This speech was essentially on the philosophy, ethics and theology of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he said that it is only Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the highest scripture, which can dissipate the darkness and truly enlighten human society. And in the same speech, he took a punch at Raja Ram Mohan Roy's Mayavadi philosophy and finished it forever. So that was his contribution to destroying the Mayavadi philosophy. In 1871, this is again very interesting, he became the district magistrate of Champaran. Now, when you know, district magistrate is a very prestigious job. Despite that, what happened? He found that there was a very powerful Brahma Daitya or a ghost which was troubling the local people around. In fact, the dacoits had somehow had a good rapport with this ghost or the Brahma Daitya to an extent such that whoever gives witness against these dacoits, this Brahma Daitya will kill them. So the people were, villagers were very afraid. Right? So despite his very powerful position, his white-collared position in society, he still came down from that position to help the villagers. He went to that tree where the ghost, the Brahma Daitya, resided, and for 7 days he recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. And after the recitation from the mouth of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the ghost ran away from that place forever, and that place was rid of the miseries of the dacoits. This was 1871. Also, 1871 was a very historic year, because during this year he visited the holy land of Jagannath Puri. The moment he landed in Jagannath Puri, the first place which he visited was the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Haridas Thakur at Swargadwar. And the moment he saw Srila Haridas Thakur Samadhi Mandir at Swargadwar, he was inspired to write this poem. Many of us know the words of this poem, the translation of this poem, where he wrote the famous statement, "One reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. One reasons ill who says Vaishnavas die." This poem he wrote at that time in Jagannath Puri. Now, Srila Prabhupada, every day morning we hear this prayer of Srila Prabhupada, where he says, "Dhira dhira jana priyau priya karo." When we hear this Sat Goswami Ashtakam, where it is said that devotees are very, very dear to the entire of mankind. A pure devotee is not only dear to devotee community, but to the entire human race. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had endeared the non-devotees as well. In fact, he had endeared his office colleagues who were British, which is really a miracle. Endearing office colleagues is a big challenge even for all of us as devotees. But he endeared them, though they were Britishers at that point in time. So he was so dear to them that these people, when he got transferred to Puri, they tried their level best to bring him back to Bengal, his own colleagues. So what happened was, there was a lot of pressure he was getting to get out of Puri. But the local in charge in Bengal, who was also a Britisher, whose name was Ravan Shaw, he gave Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur a very important task in Jagannath Puri. During those days in Jagannath Puri, there was a very interesting personality by the name Bishak Sen, who used to live there. This Bishak Sen had a huge fan following throughout Bengal, because this Bishak Sen said, he proclaimed that he is none other than the incarnation of Mahavishnu. And he said to the people that I have risen from the ocean of milk. I have come to Bengal to protect the religious and to annihilate the miscreants. That Lord Jagannath which you see in Puri is verily my expansion. And that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nothing but a part and parcel of me. That was the audacity of Bhishaksen. So, this Bhishaksen, he used to proclaim all this, but he was involved in several sex scandals with the women. And he was a big menace to the society, but he was so powerful and influential among the masses that no one dared to go near him. But Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the fearless person that he was, he took upon this onus to get rid of this Bhishaksen. So he took the word from Ravenshaw and he went with an entourage of police officers to arrest Bhishaksen. When he went there and told Bhishaksen, "Bhishaksen, you are under arrest." Bhishaksen started saying, "Don't dare to arrest me. You don't know who I am. I am the incarnation of Mahavishnu. With my glance, I can destroy you right now. But because the Lord is compassionate on you, I will not do that. But you dare not touch me." So Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, "You call yourself as Mahavishnu, but I call you as Ravan. And I have come to arrest you." So he told his police officers, "Go and arrest this person." The moment the police officers went to arrest Bhishaksen, the moment they touched the body of Bhishaksen, sparks started flowing from Bhishaksen's body. So immediately the police officers withdrew. And they were in fear. How do we arrest this person? So Bhakti Vinod Thakur took the onus of himself. He went to Bhishaksen, caught him, grabbed him, put him onto the bullock cart and tied him to the bullock cart and took him all the way and sent him into jail. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya ki. But it was not easy inside the jail. The arrest of Bhishaksen triggered lot of local protests amongst the community. And on the day of judgment, something interesting happened. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's own son fell severely ill on that day. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya himself suffered cardiac arrest, a mild cardiac arrest in the morning. And there were local people were protesting outside. Seeing all this, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's wife pleaded to him, "Please, maybe there is some merit to Bhishaksen's claim. Please, whatever it is, he seems to be not an ordinary person. Please do not give your judgment to him. Please set him free." So Bhakti Vinod Thakur made a very interesting statement. He said, "I cannot tolerate such injustice in society and such rascals. It is my duty to protect the Vaishnava society. I have full faith in the Lord. Nothing will happen. I will go ahead and sentence this person." So he proclaimed sentence on Bhishaksen and he asked the prison guard to go and shave off the hair of Bhishaksen. And you know what happened? The moment Bhishaksen's hair was shaved off, he lost all his powers, and within 24 hours Bhishaksen left his body. So that was how Bhakti Vinod Thakur dealt with this powerful personality. Not only that, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had a history of dealing with dacoits. In fact, he was personally responsible for killing lot of dacoits who were called as Kanjahas, who were a menace in Vrindavan, and freeing Vrindavan of this troubles. Further, after Bhishaksen's case, in Jajpur, one day Lord Brahma manifested. Someone claimed that he was Lord Brahma. And it didn't stop off that. Soon after, in the nearby village, Lord Balramji also manifested. So many pseudo incarnations manifested, but Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur single-handedly, fearlessly dealt with all of them. So his whole professional life was devoid of even a small trace of blemish. He was never neglectful of his duties and he dealt with all of them severely, without fear. In 1872, he came in Puri. He got his tutor in the form of Gopinath Pandit. and for the first time Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur engaged in scrutinizingly studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. In a record time of 1 year, just see his reading prowess. In a record time of just 1 year, he completed all 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam with commentaries of 3 to 4 acharyas in just 1 year. Not only that, plus he completed reading the 6 sandarbhas, which is called as the sat sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. Not only that, he completed reading Govind Leelamrit, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Prameya Ratnavali. Everything in 1 year. And he did not merely glance at this book or just distribute the books. He read and studied them scrutinizingly. Just in 1 year. In 1874, there was a royal conspiracy against the king of Puri. Now you can imagine, the king of Puri, what kind of a powerful personality. Even today, the Pandas and the head of the Pandas is such a powerful personality in Puri. So there was a royal conspiracy, and the king of Puri was found to having been involved in embezzlement of funds. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was once again given this uncomfortable job of pulling down a powerful person who was misusing the funds of the Lord. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent a notice to the king of Puri saying that you will be arrested, you will have to show accountability for all the funds. Obviously, you can imagine the false ego of the king of Puri at that time. He said, how dare you send a notice to me, I will finish you now. He took an oath that he will kill Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya, and with that objective, he started a powerful tantric yagya, which went on for 27 days. And on 27th day, that tantric yagya was supposed to finish Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What happened on the 27th day was exactly the reverse. In fact, even if it would have been exactly the reverse, it would have been mild. For a father, nothing more is more miserable than the death of his own son. So the tantric yagya had the effect that it finished off his own son, the king of Puri. His own son died on the 27th day. Not only that, but on the same day, Bimal Prasad, who is now Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, was born also on the same day. So the Lord blessed Bhaktivinoda Thakur with an illustrious son, and he took away the son of the king of Puri. So this was the pastime where the Lord showed his Bhakta Vatsala feature to a pure devotee of his. In 1880, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his famous magazine called as Sajjana Toshani and The Harmonist, and he wrote a book called as Kalyana Kalpataru. This book dealt with 3 aspects, and it was considered as a classic at that time. What were the 3 aspects? The first aspect was Upadesh, the second aspect was Upalabdhi, and the third was Uchhavas. Upadesh dealt with how to fight with anarthas in our lives. Upalabdhi dealt with how to attain pure bhakti or love of Godhead. And Uchhavas dealt with experience of spiritual emotions in pure love. He wrote these three. He addressed these 3 subject matters in Kalyana Kalpataru. In the same year, he also wrote a book called as Krishna Samhita, of which he sent a copy to the famous American essayist Ralph Waldo Emerson. Ralph Waldo Emerson, if you know, was a famous American essayist, and he was known as a revolutionary transcendentalist. For whatever, you know, transcendentalism that he thought, obviously it was not bona fide, but yes, he was still very popular. So when Ralph Waldo Emerson read Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya's work, Krishna Samhita, he commented that this will be a great contribution to the human society. In 1881, he met his spiritual master, His Holiness Vipin Vihari Goswami Pada, his Diksha Guru, for the very first time, and took initiation, spiritual initiation from him. And in the same year, he visited Vrindavan and he met Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Who is there? No, he's not here. But he visited Jagannath Das Babaji. He met Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and he was so inspired with Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that he took him as his primary Shiksha Guru. Now during this time, interestingly, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was on 3 months leave to Vrindavan, and he developed severe fever in Vrindavan. So he made a very interesting prayer to Lord Krishna. He said, "My dear Lord, I know that I am a conditioned fallen soul. So it is because of my karma that I am suffering from this fever. While I do not ask you for good health, I simply ask you, because I am in Vrindavan right now and I have so many things to accomplish here, can you please postpone my karma for me?" The moment he prayed like that, within 2 days, his fever went away. And eventually, when he was posted, he got his next posting in a place called Jessur, outside of Vrindavan, his fever returned, along with a severe infection in his right eye. In 1884, he came in contact with the famous poet of India, Bankim Chandra Ghosh, who wrote what is called as the Vande Mataram, which was earlier the national anthem of India. Of course, later on, somebody changed the Jawaharlal Nehru, who had no semblance of spirituality in himself. You know, he finally, you know, changed that mantra, he changed the Vande Mataram national, and then he started this Janaganamana. This Janaganamana was originally a glorification of King George the V. It had nothing to do with India or glorification of India. But somehow, because of his power, that became the national anthem at that time. So, Bankim Chandra Ghosh, who was the original writer of the national anthem in the form of Vande Mataram, As I said again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so intelligent, he used to attract the most intelligent masses of society. So he wrote a book, Bankim Chandra wrote a book called as Krishna Charita, and he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Can you please correct and edit it for me? Because you are a pure devotee of Lord Krishna." So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur got this book, he found that there was nothing to edit, because there was everything to be edited in that book. So he virtually rewrote that book, but called it as editing and did not take the glory for himself. He gave it back to Bankim Chandra, and that book became very popular. So though that book, Krishna Charita, was actually, the author is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but externally people know it as being written by Bankim Chandra Ghosh. In 1886, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote his version of Bhagavad Gita. And in that Bhagavad Gita, the introduction was written by Bankim Chandra. And because Bankim Chandra was very popular, the Bhagavad Gita sold like hotcakes. Because Bankim Chandra felt obliged to Bhakti Vinod Thakur for the earlier help that he rendered. Also, he wrote Chaitanya Shikshamrit. Earlier I told about his prowess about reading. Now we'll see his prowess in writing. During the same time, he wrote Chaitanya Shikshamrit. He wrote a commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam by Baldev Vidyabhushan. He wrote a book called as Sammodini Bhashya and Prema Pradeep. He wrote around 15 to 20 books in the same year. 15 to 20 books in 1 year he wrote. And his intellectual activity was so high at that point in time that he got a very peculiar severe headache because of this, and which was not going because of that such intellectual activity. But he devised a very unique treatment for this headache. And what was the unique treatment? The first thing was, he applied ghee on his head to relieve the headache. But more important than that, the way he wanted to treat it was, he engaged in intense prayer to Srila Jiva Goswami. Because Srila Jiva Goswami is known as the original Acharya. He is known for his writing so many books. So he prayed to Srila Jiva Goswami, that Srila Jiva Goswami, please give me your mercy to sustain this pace of writing scriptures so that my work will be of some use to the Vaishnava community. And the moment he said this prayer, his headache was gone. Not like Amrutanjan. He has resorted to this prayer. So in 1887, the Society of Devotees gave him the title Srila Bhakti Vinoda. The reason being, Srila Bhakti Vinoda means that person, one whose life is dedicated to bhakti and one who always finds pleasure in glorifying Krishna. In the same year, he was transferred to a place called Rampur. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the greatest mission of his life to be done now. So he refused his transfer to Rampur, and instead he swapped his transfer and went to a place called Krishna Nagar. All of you know why he went to that place. Because he always cherished since his childhood this desire that I want to excavate and find the place which is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in order to fulfill that mission, he took a transfer and went to Krishna Nagar. When he went to Krishna Nagar and he just started this exploration, he was attacked by malaria. And for 45 days, he survived only on milk. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making his job extremely difficult of finding his birthplace. After 45 days of malaria, eventually he crossed the river Krishna Nagar and came to Navadvip for the very first time. The moment he set his foot in Navadvip, ecstatic symptoms started manifesting and his hair of his body started standing on end. And he was very happy. He got some indication saying that my life's mission is now going to be fulfilled. So along with his son, he stayed in a place called as Rani Dharmashala. And every day in this place, in Navadvip, in this Dharmashala, he engaged in studying various maps to find some apparent clues of where the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could be. Now what happened was, incidentally, that the Ganges had shifted at that time. So the reference point which was provided in the map were no longer valid. So he faced so many such challenges. The locals, when he asked the locals, which is the birthplace, do you have any idea? Every local gave him a different opinion. So it was no good. Their opinions was no good, and therefore he did not trust their opinion. However, one day, when he was sitting on the terrace of this Rani Dharmashala along with his son, both of them observed a massive, huge effulgence at a distance. When they observed this effulgence, immediately they started walking towards the effulgence, and when they reached that spot, they found that in that spot there was a dense growth of tulasi leaves. So when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this, he got his first clue that maybe I have found the birthplace of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To validate that, he came back and checked the map, and he found that place was described as Mayapur in the map. However, he wanted shastric evidence. He found empirical evidence, he wanted shastric evidence. So he went to the Chaitanya Bhagavat scripture, and there he found the scriptural reference that he wanted. It was mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Navadvipe madhye Mayapura namasthan yatha yajanmile Gaurachandra Bhagavan. Srila Gaurachandra Bhagavan ki jai. Navadvipa madhye means in the center of Mayapur. In the center of Navadvip, Mayapure namasthan, there is a place called as Mayapur, you will find, yathaya janmile Gaurachandra Bhagavan. It is verily in this place that Lord Sri Krishna manifested as Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So with this he found his second clue from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. However, he went further ahead. He also wanted spiritual evidence in front of his eyes. So he went all the way and invited Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, his primary Siksha Guru. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was well over 100 years old at that point in time, so he could not walk himself. So he had to be carried in a basket, and his servant Bihari used to carry him in a basket. So the moment Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was taken to that place, though he was old and he could hardly walk, he jumped out of the basket and he started jumping up and down, and he started saying, ये तो आमार निमाई जन्मस्थान, ये तो आमार निमाई जन्मस्थान, ये तो आमार निमाई जन्मस्थान. He said, this is the birthplace of my beloved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he said that, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur got his third evidence, which is the scriptural, which is the spiritual evidence. So with this evidence, he started constructing the Yogapit Mandir in that spot. Now, when they started digging the foundation for this Yogapit, what did they discover? They unearthed verily a deity of Adokshaja Vishnu in this place. And that gave the fourth evidence, which is the archaeological evidence. So he had the first clue, empirical evidence, shastric evidence, spiritual evidence and archaeological evidence. So it was proved beyond a doubt that this was the place where Jagannath Mishra and Sachidev worshipped the Lord. So from all aspects it was confirmed, and therefore this contribution of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is considered as the greatest contribution of his lifetime. In 1891, he took 2 years leave from his job and took to preaching along with Ram Sev and Sitanath Mahapatra and toured all over Bengal and Orissa. And why this was significant? Because this was the genesis of what is popularly today called as the Namahatta or the Bhakti Viruksha program. It was at this time that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur established more than 500 Namahattas all over Bengal. And around 1000 to 2000 people used to attend this with Kirtan, lecture and Prasadam distribution. So this formed the blueprint for all the modern day preaching of ISKCON. It was laid by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. In 1891, he founded what is called as the Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha Trust for the temple construction, and he appointed the king of Tripura as the president of that particular place because the construction had to be expedited, so there has to be a very powerful person at the top. And in 1894, he finally retired from his government service. He retired from government service and went to a place called as Suravi Kund. Now, though he was the district magistrate and such a powerful, opulent, you know, eminent personality, the moment he retired, he forgot all about his position. And then, he physically went door to door with a chadar and begged with the people to give at least one penny for building the Gaur Vishnu Priya Mandir in Yogapit. That was his level of humility. He did not only go to his friends, he went to people who were also envious and inimical of him so that he can develop more and more humility. And with the chadar, he begged for alms for the Lord. In March 1895, on the auspicious day of Gaura Purnima, they had the installation of Gaura Vishnu Priya devotees, which is even seen today in Yogapit. And there was a 7-day festival which marked the inauguration of this temple. In 1896, his work, the work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya, reached the Western world for the first time. In fact, Srila Prabhupada also was born in the same year. And when once Sachidananda Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, why did Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself then not go to the West? Srila Prabhupada said, that was because of his causeless mercy that he has left the job to me and to you. In 1901, something very interesting happened. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur composed the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what was special about his Srimad Bhagavatam? His Srimad Bhagavatam was composed topic wise, not the way the other Srimad Bhagavatam, the regular Srimad Bhagavatam that we know of. He split the Srimad Bhagavatam as Sambandha related, Abhideya related and Prayojana related. And when someone asked him, why did you do that? What was the inspiration for you to write this? He revealed that one day, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami manifested before him and told him exactly what he should write in these books. So that is what happened in 1901. Very, very significant event. In 1908, there was Sir William Duke, who was his ex-boss. One day, Sir William Duke came down to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and started begging, fell at his feet and started begging for his mercy. And it was very peculiar that to a Britisher falling at the feet of an Indian from the Karmi point of view and begging for mercy, it was never seen before. He said, during my tenure with the government, when you used to work, I used to hate you and I used to envy you. But I knew always and I gradually realized that you are not an ordinary personality. You are a man of God. So in our Christian religion, we always beg for forgiveness before we leave our body. So I know that I have played a lot of politics to bring you down from your position. I am very sorry. Please pardon me. I know that you are not an ordinary personality. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, being the Vaishnava that he was, readily pardoned him. So again it shows that he was dhira dhira janapriya, very very popular amongst the non-devotees as well, by dint of his character. And in 1910 in Puri, he set up his own bhajan kutir, which was called as Swananda Sukhada Kunj, and near again Haridas Thakur's samadhi. Now here what happened was, whenever Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, whose picture you see next, adjacent to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whenever Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj went to Puri, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who was his Shiksha Guru, used to fall at his feet and for his mercy. And this embarrassed Gaur Kishore Das Babaji no end. So one day, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, being fed up of Bhakti Vinod Thakur in that sense, he decided to play a trick. So when Bhakti Vinod Thakur came to, Puri, when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came to Puri, he went and stayed in the house of a prostitute. Can you believe this? He went and stayed in the house of a prostitute because he know that place no Vaishnava will come to and nobody will know that he has come. And then he used to secretly hear the lectures of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So that was in 1910, and then he told everyone, this is how I outwitted my Shiksha Guru. So thus, Bhakti Vinod Thakur evoked respect even from such a renounced personality of the stature of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So you can imagine how great he was. Finally, on June 23rd, 1914, on the day of Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur disappeared from this mortal world. Srila Prabhupada called Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur as the grand man spiritual master. Now, few minutes back, Mahatma Prabhu was talking about his schedule. So I'll just end this lecture by narrating one day in the life of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, how tight his schedule was. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya, from 8 PM in the night to 10 PM in the night, for 2 hours, he used to take rest. From 10 PM to 4 AM in the morning, he used to start writing scriptures. At 4:30 PM, he used to take a rest, and then short rest, and then take bath and start chanting. Till 7:30, he used to chant, and at 7:30, he started reading the scriptures. At 8:30, he used to meet visitors and guests at his house. Because he was very popular, people used to come to him with lot of problems, spiritual problems, material problems, and so on and so forth. So he used to meet each and every one of them. And at 9:30, he used to go to the veranda and walk on his veranda and contemplate the Bhagavad philosophy. And then he used to have a very small breakfast which comprised of milk, 2 chapatis and some fruits. And between 10 to 1 PM, he went to court. In just the span of 10 to 1 PM, he used to finish all his work in court. It was said that ordinarily for other people, the job, what job used to take 1.5 hours, Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to finish it in 5 minutes, 1.5 hour job. And ordinarily, judgment, which used to take 1 or 2 hours, he used to give judgment in a span of 2 minutes. So therefore, his productivity level in office and efficiency was very high, and therefore he was very widely respected. Between 2 to 5 PM, he used to come home and rest for some time. And between 5 to 7 PM, he used to start translation, dictation. And then he used to take a bath and a small meal for dinner, which comprised of a little rice and some chapatis and milk. So Srila Prabhupada said that year after year he continued this regimen. And that was an inspiration for Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada modeled his own regimen on Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya. And he says that without Krishna's intervention, don't think that any ordinary person can sustain this kind of regimen in his life. So this was a day in Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life. So on this day of his auspicious appearance, we pray to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he will be in a very benevolent mood on his appearance day to bestow benedictions on us. So we pray that we become very good sadhakas. Not only that he empowers us on this day to become effective preachers so that we can be of some movement, some use to Srila Prabhupada's divine movement. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya's appearance day ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gonath.